Hello, friends, and welcome to another issue of Portographic, issue number 40. I'm Brian Mann.
Brian Mitchell.
Eric Mitchell.
Mike Rojas.
Our guest, Mike Rojas. What is our first beer? Oh, no, wait.
So our podcast is broken into four parts. The Compare, where all or at least most of the podcast are currently reading those books. The Share, where just that person wants to share that book with the rest of the podcast. The Dares, where it's certainly something that you wouldn't usually read, and one of the members is daring someone else to read that book. And the Impaired, because by golly, we drink some beer during this, and by that time we are impaired.
And we do always try to drink different beers. We're not just repeating the same ones over and over and over again during the podcast. So our first one for this evening is Founders Mosaic Promise, a single hop ale.
Where's Founders out of? Is that the great state of Colorado?
I don't think so.
Minnesota?
Michigan. Grand Rapids,
it's closer
Michigan.
The second time.
Yep.
I know they put out some really good beers.
Mm-hmm. The KBS and the Breakfast Stout.
Oh,
the,
yeah.
The Dirty Bastard,
isn't it?
Yeah, that's a Scottish ale.
Yeah.
But the Breakfast Stout, yeah, it's got like a kid with a spoon and some cereal. Like, yep.
Yeah, that Breakfast Stout that's aged in bourbon barrels and is about a 14%er.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Good for what ails you. So Eric is pouring. What is the first comic?
We usually try and do Batman, and you know, Tom King's back to writing this Batman. So
writing.
Hey man,
can I go first? Just because I feel like if I don't, I'm going to get called out anyway. So I'm going to call myself out.
Sure.
God damn it, Brian.
Because as I'm reading this book, about three pages in, I'm like, oh, no. Oh, no. Am I going to have to eat shit or am I going to stick to my guns on this one? Because there's no words.
Well, there's some words.
But not very many.
I wrote not a lot of dialogue. Not my favorite Batman. Because I think it was all at the end, wasn't it?
Well, I feel. See, I know what he's going to say. So I'm interested to gauge the liking after.
So as I was reading it, I was mentally going through reasons to defend it because
you're getting ready.
No, because I mean it's Tom King, and I mean I can give Kevin Smith some shit because he puts out a hit girl with zero words.
That is true.
And
that was just a few weeks ago.
Yeah, and
but this one didn't have zero, so that's a plus.
And Last Siege that
actually did have another zero.
Yeah. So I'm looking to defend it, and damn it if it almost wasn't better without dialogue. It told a story of Batman going down through his subconscious by way of going down through the panels. So I really liked it. The unveiling of the Joker at the end I thought was fantastic.
So it's a Looney Tunes issue. The chase is Wile E. Coyote chasing Roadrunner.
Yeah.
That's why there's all the beep beeps.
Oh, that's fantastic.
I didn't even pick up.
Yeah, and I didn't either, but I went back and looked, and he's totally right.
It's all the beep beeps.
Batman, I wondered what that was.
Is Wile E. Coyote.
Super genius.
And then the stuttering bartender. Who is that?
Porky Pig.
God, dog it.
He does look like Elmer Fudd, though.
I know, right? Yeah. I was on the phone with him, and I was, you know, and I tried, and I was like, I immediately was like, no, you're wrong.
He even looks like a pig in that one.
Yes.
How did I not get that?
Yeah, well, in the last page even says, William Ernest Coyote. That was the name of the man, the dead man on the roof. William Ernest Coyote, Wile E. Coyote. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Totally missed it. I was
smiled
too busy.
And he said, beep, beep.
I was going through going, I'm going to take some shit for this.
Yeah. But now it's so much better.
Yes.
Knowing that.
Yeah.
Because I was like, I'm like, all right, you know, mediocre, you know. And then, you know, I also wrote down I just gave Kevin Smith shit about this. And you know, it's like you don't have a whole lot of words here.
Oh yeah, I felt the pouncing.
But outside of the issue, I'm ready for nightmares to be over. Like,
yeah, you're ready to see a resolution.
Yeah. I have faith in the process, but this is nightmare number 5, and I don't know how many we're gonna go, but it.
I kind of feel like I could go longer if we, like, if they had like one little panel showing where Batman actually is in reality,
or a couple of pages.
Yeah, something just letting us know what's really going on.
Yeah. I agree, and I just, like I said, I have faith, but you know.
Well, I think sometimes, and I mean, I've got a book I'm going to review later that I'm kind of that way with. All right, we're going to need to see some progression. There's a fine line between telling a complete and full story and kind of letting it drag on too long.
Yeah. Okay. Moving right along, we're going to do Black Badge number 8. So I was angry with the Jamboree because I was like, again, went on too long. Let's get a resolution. I'd like to go back to happier times.
Because this, I don't think we're going to see that.
Yeah. No, things seem to be going...
ramping up rather quickly.
Intel has been gathered, and I don't think we're not going to spoil this one, but...
I think we could say a main character gets...
I like to use the word executed.
Yeah.
Because that's how it felt to me.
Got the death merit badge.
Nice. Last one to Eagle. Yeah. He won't be joining us anymore.
And I'll have an amusing antidote in the impaired in talking with Matt Kent about this comic.
Yes. Awesome. Looking forward to that. Spooderman life story number 1. The 60s.
I really like this.
What about it? Okay, I thought writing and the art especially. I mean, it just, I don't know. It fit looked the like.
Period.
Yeah.
Yes. That was one of the first things I wrote down is the Osbournes, the way they used to draw the curly hair, which is to kind of put the wavy lines and the triangle widow's peak. I was like, that looks like vintage Spider-Man.
Yeah.
And Joe Janet Jameson looked amazing. And I like that it was Gwen Stacy and not Mary Jane because...
Well, it fits the period.
Right, exactly.
What I liked about it, firstly is Peter wrestling with whether he should volunteer for Vietnam or not. He's kind of going back and forth. And then at Flash Thompson's going away party, he said, hey, why did you volunteer? And he said, well, it's what Spider-Man would have done. So now he's really... Conflicted. At a crossroads, yeah.
So I liked the majority of the book. The end I had a little problem with. I don't really fully understand the cap at the end.
During was it the Civil War, I think, where there's a term called Total War, where they just burned all the crops, burned all the buildings. Stuff like that. It seems like that's
like a scorched earth plan.
It seems like that's what Tony is trying to do, and that's why Cap said these people are under my protection.
Yeah, it just feels un-American for Captain America to be like, "Hey, I'm gonna save the Viet Cong from."
They were women and children, weren't they?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. Time period, women and children were spies and. Little gangbangers. I don't know.
I've heard more so in the modern era. Hang on.
I just had a vision of like an Impala.
First Japan, Vietnam.
Through the rice and fatties.
Playing some gangster rap. F the police.
Every time I say something, oh, God.
Oh, it was a little bit confusing to me too, but I also feel like Captain America doesn't just he stands for the American way, ideal, not just or the yeah. So
he's saying America's off course, so he's gonna course correct.
Yeah, but I feel like 20 years ago you were leading the charge to knock down Hitler's door, and now you're saying America has become the oppressor.
But when you look at the two different wars in in retrospect for us, because they've already happened, which between World War II and Vietnam, which one was quote unquote more noble? It would be against Hitler.
Well,
more so than Vietnam.
Yeah, one was fighting to save people's lives from genocide. The other is fought over political ideals, right, wrong, or indifferent.
Yeah. And
I think that's where it...
Certainly one was perceived by the public to be less in controversy, if you will, than the other. But I feel like...
Right, and then when you think about, like, I don't know anybody else, but for me, Captain America... He's supposed to stand for the best that we can be, whether we're there or
yeah,
not.
Yeah, he's like Superman.
And so
he reflects the best parts of humanity. Right.
And so since general public opinion, even during the time era, was against Vietnam, that's why they put him against Vietnam in the book.
Yeah. Well, Eric, when we were talking about this earlier, the great thing you pointed out is issue number two is 10 years in the future. So... We'll have to really worry about it. Right.
So that to me is, that's the thing that drew me to this, because I'm not a Spider-Man dude. I think I've made that pretty apparent.
Yeah.
But I like the going through the time periods thing. Yeah. I wasn't 100% sold on this issue, but I'm going to give a second one a whirl, because maybe as we go to another decade, things will make more sense. And I kind of want to see how this concept plays out.
So before we move on, taking this concept of through the years, who do you want to see next? Anybody? Marvel, DC?
So if it's a success,
yeah,
just like the old man series.
But I don't know that I think that's. I don't know that I want to see another one, because
I could dig the Punisher.
Yeah, okay. But it feels like the first two old man were good, and maybe not so much with old Star-Lord.
Trying to spread it a little too much.
See, that's what you do, Brian. You say Star-Lord so you don't get the Quinn and Quill mixed up. Yeah. Star-Lord. That's all you got to do.
Star-Lord, not Quinn, Quill.
Yeah, I don't know. That's it's a good question. Because
I mean, here's
if we're already seeing the dilemma here with the Vietnam War.
Sure.
Do we really want to see that again? With some Punisher? Of the
no, see, I don't know.
Maybe you step it into the future. Maybe instead of going backwards, you go in 10 years.
Like you could do like Iron Man at 2050.
Yeah.
And then
which one? Then just becomes old man Iron Man, but.
Fuck.
Yeah.
But I was thinking like, a week or so ago was Cape and the Cow's 80th birthday or whatever day, so you could do 8 issues of each decade of that, and you know, go from
that would be interesting, because especially because it's two different,
you know, in what I think would be cool if you did that is you did the art style of that, like the best art from like when it started, and then you know you can move into the 60s and 70s and
I don't know, like you could even do within a story arc just as like a celebratory thing.
Yeah.
Just use the same artwork that was used back then.
Well, what was I looking at? It was a Batman we were reading recently that had
one. It was the one with the question.
Okay.
Yeah, it was, the art was very.
But it looked like year one.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Frank Miller art.
Yeah, yeah.
So, yeah.
So. That's my choice. I mean, I love Batman, but that would be my choice. You know, that's Batman through the years. That'd be cool.
I just think a art, quote unquote, callback. Like that's what that last Iron Man issue. That's what stood out to me the most was.
Yeah,
When the artwork changed, you knew something was going on.
Right. Yeah. Okay. What do we think about the beer here, Founders?
I like it.
It's almost...
it's pretty good.
The kind of the new IPA thing is the juicy... citrusy mm-hmm. IPA, and that's what this very much reminds me of. Very drinkable,
light, refreshing.
Yeah, like a summer beer.
It's not dry. It's refreshing. Okay. Middle West number five. So I want to ask you a question.
The answer's four.
Okay. Okay. Did you notice the tattoo starting to form on his chest? So what are your thoughts on what that is? Because I have an idea of what it is, but I'm not 100% sure.
I don't think we know. I mean, his dad's got the same thing rocking. So.
But it's much bigger.
Some kind of magic rune or something.
I think it's the outward embodiment of good and evil in like the spirit or soul or whatever. Because like the dad is like not a good dude and he's like covered in it.
Well, I felt like maybe this issue, you can kind of see he's an asshole, but you maybe see the reasons why he's an asshole a little bit. Like when he's there supporting the kid and the ex-wife just sends a bike.
Yeah.
It's not a cool move to then just trash the bike because, you know, you're pissed at your ex. But I could understand the dad who's like, man, I'm doing all I can to make ends meet. She isn't even in your life and ships you a brand new bike and suddenly you think she's the greatest. Why that would make you a little
uptight? I don't know that the ends justify the means.
I'm not saying they do. I'm just saying I can step in his shoes and go, all right, he's just not an overt monster. There are reasons why he is bad dude.
Yeah. He probably feels like he can't catch a break. So
yeah, it's funny when the old fox is in danger, Abel unleashes his power. But when Abel's in danger, Fox is like, peace out.
Yeah, I'm just gonna stay back here and safe and yeah. But I continue to like this book.
Yeah, the art's its own thing, but mm-hmm. I like it.
Yeah.
I'm still really hooked on this book. It's got clever writing, good art for the most part. I mean, what's there not to like?
Exactly. Going to quickly move on to The Life and Death of Toya Harada. Did I get that one right?
As far as I know.
Okay.
I mean, I think you might have got it on the nose.
Fantastic. Go ahead.
Yeah, it is Japanese.
I'm not engaging. Go ahead.
You know, Valiant Comics, man, I equate this company with small but good. The small sample size, I mean, the Britannia, Lost Eagles of Rome is Valiant. Shadow Man, Valiant. Mm. Bloodshot, Rising Spirit.
Yeah.
So I think they put out good work. So we start with Creation Expressed as a Spark, and that's
a non sequitur way of depicting it for sure.
Then we jump to Hiroshima.
Yeah, we go quick.
The parents get croaked out. The kid has like Dr. Manhattan level powers, except he doesn't divorce himself from humanity. He decides, I know what's best for humanity.
Which somehow feels like it might actually be worse.
Yeah. Don't worry. I got you. I'll show you the way. I've got all the answers.
Yeah. Yeah. You should trust me because I'm better than you.
But he seems to want to use his powers to do best. How can I not talk about the vag monster attached to the dude's head?
Yeah, I saw that and I was like...
Yeah, right there, that panel.
Yeah.
Tell me that isn't a vag monster.
I didn't call it a vag monster. I was like Venus flytrappy thingy. I feel like this is a shared universe, though. Because I've seen that symbol before.
They talk about Rising Spirit in here, so I feel like it's shared universe with Bloodshot.
Yeah.
I don't know enough about it to speak intelligently.
And it doesn't take me out of it.
It usually doesn't stop me, but...
Oh, speaking unintelligibly about it, yes.
Absolutely.
But
this
I picked it up.
It's effed up in all the right ways.
Yeah, I picked it up because I was like, it looks interesting, you know? And we had just read some other Japanese-influenced sci-fi books, so I wanted to continue the trend and see if we could keep the nose joke going a couple more issues.
Oh, good.
Well, they don't all look the same, so...
You slide that in?
Yes.
I mean, I've been fooled before when book one is pretty interesting and then book two, three, four, five, and I'm like, oh, yeah. How did I get into this trap?
It's a trap.
But I enjoyed the heck out of it.
Yeah. Okay. Venom 12.
So the symbiote is back to full power, apparently, because...
Full power.
Because all of a sudden he is able to imitate Eddie without Eddie being inside. The symbiote suit, which was...
I think maybe we forgot what the definition of symbiote is.
It's, yeah, it's, it was still really good.
Sure.
It's just, it was a little confusing there, so...
And then it's just, we're midstream here in a story, and then it's like, man, we got this War of the Realms thing brewing.
We're just gonna
leave all this stuff just we're just gonna park it right here, and we'll see you in a month and a half.
Yeah. So
it felt dirty. It felt a little dirty to me.
That we're leaving
just going, oh, hey, all right.
Because it definitely leaves at a cliffhanger, and then now we have three Colin Bunn issues, which hopefully should be still good. It just sucks that. Right in the middle of this really good run of Donny Cates, you're just going to...
Oh, and also, the Venom that'll be in the War of the Realms will not be talking to Eddie because he's not there.
Right.
We assume. I don't know. We don't know. But, I mean, clearly in, like, the finishing panels of this book, the symbiote is just walking away. You know?
Yeah.
So, but hopefully at 16... can just pick up.
Hope so, because then that should be leading into the whole
Age of Carnage or
maximum or absolute carnage that they announced. So
it's a Woody Harrelson attack.
Let's hope not. It was cool to see him at the end, but I'm still not sold that he could be your villain is if they ever decide to do a second Venom movie.
I'm just trying to imagine right now
Woody Harrelson with googly eyes.
Why, dude? Fucking why? Why do you do that?
Just trying to help, dude. I thought that's where you're going with it.
No, just as like a giant CGI blurb. Because yeah. I know whatever the Bane guy's name is.
Tom Hardy?
Yeah, that guy.
Quinn.
Shut up. All right. Anyway.
So on the absolute carnage thing, I think it starts in like July. I did like their promo for it. Donny Cates like shot this 2 or 3 minute video, and they're basically, you know, trying to say it's going to be so popular, it's going to sell more than the X-Men, the Jim Lee 90s, you know, the top selling comic of all time.
That's probably an unbeatable record.
They have it slashed out, and they have one more copy. You know, they're going to sell like 8 million, blah, blah, blah. And
one.
Yeah. 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 So it was just kind of.
It is a lofty goal, but it will not happen.
No.
I think that will live forever. High level number two is going to be our last compare.
So I really dig where the story's going. I mean, one sets you up pretty well.
Mm-hmm.
And now this kind of fleshes it out a little better. The art's good. The writing's good. I wish there was a little more of the witty banter, you know, like the Laura and Gabby type banter between the two. I feel like that's a piece where if you dialed that in, this would be a really, really great book.
Well, I think it is a great book, but it could add another element.
Yeah. I think it's a good book at this point.
Okay, that's probably fine.
I mean, I know that we're splitting hairs, but this is also kind of cool, I thought.
Yes.
So in the back, it kind of shows you where they're at and then where they're going to go on their journey. And I think
where they could go on their journey. Yeah.
I think that's kind of fun to show you what the world looks like and where they're going and help the immerse the reader in the experience.
Well, they've thought it out more than just, I have this good idea. Here we go. I mean, yeah, that shows a level of planning.
A high level.
There you go. Of planning.
Dude, that was pretty. Whitney banter.
Wow.
I think that's cool that they put the map in there. Yeah, like, we were talking earlier about I was trying to get the boys into role playing games with that little dungeon, and it has like themes that you could gear a story around. And I went on to Reddit and found a map maker thread, I guess, and just took one of those pictures and put in my own. So they had a visual representation of
where they're
going.
Yeah, it helps immerse you in the experience. Mm-hmm. So I thought it was really smart that they put that in the comic.
But I definitely think the story is progressed in a positive direction in this one from one.
Yes. Yeah, and not that one was bad by any means.
That's what I'm saying.
Two, but yeah.
Yes.
It's going in the right direction.
Absolutely. Okay. Well, that.
You touched on that before we move on.
Or I can throw it here. I can do it in share.
Yeah, just tell them.
So
I'm a dumbass. And for 2 weeks in a row, I've been able to, two pods in a row, been unable to find X-23 in a timely manner. man, it started out, and we're back to the witty banter. It started out with that, and I don't so much care about the story. It's really not. It's not doing much for me. So this may be the end of X-23 for me. I shall see.
Yeah, are they going to be in the War of the Realms?
I don't know. I haven't paid too much attention to it yet as to what it all is.
Well, I mean, everything's gone except for the Earth. So I would think that any hero has a possibility of being in it.
Yeah.
Because there's nowhere else for the battles to be.
That's true. Okay. Well, hopefully 11 is a new story arc and not a...
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, that is going to take us out of the compares and into the shares.
And we'll start another beer, too, here as we go into the shares. This is the S'more Stout from Big Muddy Brewing. And I think they are out of Illinois, is what I found. On
Illinois.
Yes.
Yeah, so, this could either be really good or really not so good.
While he's pouring, since we were just talking about the War of the Realms,
in
Thor 11, so back up to when Jane Foster Thor, quote unquote, died.
Oh, Jesus.
She was fighting Mangog, which nobody could beat, and she attached him to, I can never say the hammer name.
Mjolnir.
The hammer that rules them all. So she attached Mangog to him and threw it into the sun. So now that...
To the fires of Mount Doom.
Now that the War of the Realms is getting closer, Thor doesn't think he's strong enough without the hammer. Because he keeps having these hammers made by dwarves, but they're not...
It smells marshmallowy, doesn't it?
But they're not the same hammer. So he's so powerful, he ends up breaking him or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So he's like flying into the sun until his current hammer melts looking for Mjolnir, and then he comes back out. So his mom says, hey, what the hell are you doing? And he's like, oh, I need the hammer, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
And she says, you're enough by yourself. And it made me think of the movie Ragnarok, where she's asking him, what are you the god of again?
You know, you're not the god of hammers.
Right.
Yeah, that was Odin, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. On the island or whatever.
Yeah. And so she takes him to Earth, and he's so intent on finding this hammer. Like, his emotions are causing all these crazy weather patterns. Like, Hawaii is getting flooded, so him and his mom save a whole bunch of people.
Does he have jet black hair and face makeup? Go full emo? Little emo Thor?
No. I don't know if I appreciate you talking about Thor that way.
I mean, you were saying...
She with like a Prince Valiant. Yeah.
So after the death of Thor, you find out that... you didn't find out. Like, once Thor started back up, they brought her back to life. She's been going through chemo and whatnot. So in this issue, we find out that her cancer's in remission, which I think is... fortuitous for the war coming, because she may or may not be able to call the hammer back to her, so Thor wouldn't have to continue looking for it.
Huh.
Show of hands, who's picking up War of the Realms?
It's a really slow week this coming week. Okay. I think I might pick up
one
yeah.
I was sold in their first ad. I was like, oh, that looks cool. And then the more I saw what a kind of a crossover event it was, yeah, I was like, oh, hang on,
Brad. It's hitting a lot of them.
I was looking at the previews, and in my mind, I'm screaming, money grab.
Yes.
But in my heart, I'm like, I might end up getting every single one of these.
All well, isn't it basically Jason Aaron's...
It's a trap.
It's his the end, right?
Yeah, so he started it with Thor, and then like Thor 1, which what number is Thor on now?
11.
Okay, I feel like it was like...
It's been renumbered probably 15 times since...
Yeah, because it was like 2016 or something when he started it.
Yeah, 15, yeah. That's about right.
Okay, whatever. Anyway,
no, Legacy 7.
Why 15 7? Times yeah. Okay. Since 2016?
Okay.
It's a real possibility.
What is this, Legacy 7,543?
717.
Okay, that's close. I got a 7 in there. I don't know why I'm... Anyway, but yes, that's what I understand is this is his pièce de résistance.
So, being as it's a slow week, we may all be picking it up.
Yeah.
At least one.
Do you think they like paid people not to release their books? So like they would be like, well, I don't want to just walk out of this one book. I gotta pick up something else.
Be a short podcast.
I do not have any shares this week.
If there's a whole bunch of heroes in it, then it wouldn't make sense for their own title to continue going on some completely different story.
Oh, but they do that crap all the time with zero continuity. I mean, I hate it, but...
Mm-hmm. The thing that threw me on it was, because it does kind of look good, but I think it also continues like the Asgardians of the Galaxy story. I think they're in it some.
I think I only saw like one or two issues of it within like the big list.
Yeah, yeah.
Is there the Joker riding a Joker dragon?
If it doesn't get to that level.
No, it's Thor riding a frozen giant dragon. Frost giant dragon.
Okay, anyway. Yeah. I feel like that's at least explainable. The Joker dragons, yeah. No bueno.
I mean, Scott Snyder obviously thought it was explainable.
So I have just a couple real quick ones. Uncanny X-Men number 14. And I know we talked about we're going to switch up the shares a little bit and just talk about them every once in a while.
Yeah.
And then I read the X-Men. And damn it, I reviewed X-Men for quite a long time while it was really, really crappy.
Yeah.
So now you want to be like, damn it, it's good.
I'm going to talk about it when it's good. Yeah.
Fair enough.
It is actually really, really good. My only complaint about it is I don't like the way they're drawing Cyclops. He looks... I didn't like that in Schism either. He looks like a...
It looks like a Tusken like Raider
for
me.
Old man.
He looks like a Neanderthal.
Yeah, that's the only... Like, the story is great, and then you just have to kind of pretend like he looks normal in all the pictures, because everybody else looks awesome, and the art is good, but...
Maybe the artist just has a thing, hates Cyclops, and it's like, I'm going to draw him fugly.
Maybe.
Who knows?
All right, so what do we think of the marshmallow beer? Too marshmallowy?
It's a little weird. Yeah.
Yeah.
I picked that up after we talked about the marshmallow beer several podcasts ago.
Oh, the Lucky Charms beer?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that was cool.
I think it's the... There's too much chocolate in it, I think.
Yeah, it's almost sweet.
Yeah.
Too sweet.
Well, and it doesn't to me. I mean, if I can see through it, it's not a stout. I mean, it obviously is, but it's more of a porter consistency.
Yeah.
So I guess I'm down to I'm the only one doing Guardians now.
Sorry.
So Guardians of the Galaxy number 3 by Donny Cates. I still like it. I don't really like, and this I think shows like how good of a writer he is. And I mean, he's bringing in characters that I don't even know who the hell they are. So, I mean, he's obviously done his homework and stuff, and but you really have to know all the galaxy-wide superheroes and supervillains to be following this. Now, I will say it does seem like it's starting to lean towards getting back to the main group. Star-Lord, Gamora, Groot, Rocket. Still haven't. And I'm not sure about Drax.
He's probably standing still somewhere.
he's probably right
you
in
can't
it.
Can't see me.
He's in every issue. But yeah, it looks like it's going that way.
Dude,
but
Marvel, you need to make a Where's Drax? Instead of like, Where's Waldo? Where's Drax?
Drax with like a little scarf and a hat and glasses.
We're eating a bag of crisps. I love it. I love it. Okay.
So I had the Savage Sword of Conan number 3. The demons from the last book, they're minions of a dude named Kogathun. He can apparently turn into a snake, which...
a name like Kogathun, you got to.
Anybody who saw the Conan movie with James Earl Jones, he did that as well, but his name, I had to look this up. His name in that movie was...
James Earl Jones played Conan?
No, he played the bad guy.
Mufasa?
His name is Thulsa Doom. So it's a completely different character. So they surround him with this fog, what they can't get out of, trying to find this map that Conan found. So when I think of Conan the Barbarian, he has, I don't know if this is like wood hands or something, but he just bites one and spits it in his face.
Like his own hand?
Dude got wood.
No, like all these little things are coming out at him from the sorcerer guy. And he's like, oh, fuck your couch.
Yeah.
Take this back into your face, into your face piece. So so he starts like trying to read his mind.
All right. I got to stop you. What's with the couch? He said, fuck the couch. I heard. Did anybody else hear couch?
Fuck your couch. It's a comedy bit.
A what?
It's a comedy. I can't think of his name right now. Dave Chappelle. He was acting like Rick James.
I'm Rick James, bitch!
Yeah. And he got on Charlie Murphy's couch. He says, Rick, be easy on that couch. I just bought it. And he's like, fuck your couch. And starts rubbing mud from his shoes all over the couch.
Okay, now that it's in context.
Yeah, I get it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
Worth. It was that was worth.
So he's with these two other people. They end up breaking free. And
hashtag to
break free.
And as they're escaping, there's a female there. I didn't write down her name, but she's from the area. And she said, well, this city was built upon a treasure. So they're not looking in the city. They're looking into the catacombs.
It wasn't built on rock and roll.
It was not. So at the very end of the issue, apparently they're going to have to fight skeletons that came back to life.
Skeletor.
I'm built ready for
city. That's what I was.
Yeah.
So since I've been reading Conan, I picked this up. Belit, her dad is is like the king of the pirates. He owed a debt to some people, so they locked him up. They marooned him on an island. She found him. She's gonna save him, and he says, "No, you know, this is my honor as a pirate. I owe them money. They did this to me." So she decides to wait with him until he dies, and they talk for a while, and he says, I can't do this, just end it. So she kills him, kills her dad.
Oh, she do.
Okay.
So yeah. She goes back and finds out that all of her dad's ships from his fleet are being taken.
Yeah.
And she tries to fight them off. She's, I don't know, probably like 12, trying to fight grown-ass men. And so they lock her up inside of a chest. This other ship comes up thinking it's a slave trader ship, so they attack it to free the slaves.
Okay.
Take her out of the box, and she says, I want to find sea monsters, and then a big-ass kraken comes up at the end of the issue. So, anything with monsters, I'm down for.
And that author, I just noticed, I think you pronounce it Tini, T-I-N-I, Howard. She did Euthanauts, and she's a... It's a Black Crown.
Okay.
That's not the one that
was Assassin.
Is that who Brendan was looking for?
No. But she did. I don't know. I know she's done a bunch of like indie books, but then just this past week, like Marvel signed her to like an exclusive
Whoa.
Deal.
Cool.
Right, so
hold on, I think it's it's Assassinistas.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh.
It may be Euthanauts as well. I don't know. Okay.
Yeah, Assassinistas was
Flank.
I don't like the book. Frank.
Right on.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's gonna move us out of the shares and into the dares.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So
and
into a new beer.
Into a new beer, yeah. Odell.
Because I need to cleanse my palate of the marshmallowy goodness.
Odell's Drumroll APA is what we're going to try out this time.
Oh, okay. No drumroll?
Yeah. Odell out of Fort Collins, Colorado.
Fort Collins.
Yes.
Where's Fort Collins? Is it
Colorado?
Wow.
So who's going first with the dares?
So I finished up Ghost Fleet, and you guys were less than kidding about it going from 25 to 100 in like an issue. Cuz towards the end there, after his rig gets jacked and he starts fighting like demons and shit, you're like, I thought I saw everything. And then you keep turning the page and it's like,
oh, there's more.
Okay.
No, wait, there's more.
Yeah, but I feel like it could have done more. Like there could be another volume or whatever. There's story arc you could do with that character. I don't know. But I enjoyed it. It really shows that Donny Cates can
do a bunch of different...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which, you know, the more we read of him, I mean, if he keeps doing this for like 10 years, he's like the next Millar, maybe. You know, I don't know.
It's possible.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like Millar can write for one of the big two or... Or an indie book, or you know, so
yeah, but it was out there
for sure.
It just seems so normal there for a while. It's just kind of there's nothing. Yeah. All right,
dude, that's a different book than I would think that you would usually dig. Like God Country, I could see why you'd be like, yeah, and then Ghost Fleet, it is so just.
It's devoid. I mean, it's just
other end of the spectrum.
It's such a stark difference.
And they're both really good.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Have you read it?
No, I haven't.
Oh, okay.
Well, may rectify that.
Yeah. All right. Who's next?
I had Ruin World. I didn't take a whole lot of notes on this, but it was a whole lot of fun.
Yes.
One thing that stood out to me when they found the Temple of Kulu. The symbol above the door, it reminded me of Cthulhu, mm-hmm. which I thought was like not very imaginative, but I mean, it is what it is. I still enjoyed. So the cover of issue, I think number 3, where the three of them are like pouncing on like the frogs, like this big battle is what you think is going to happen. And I was like, this is exactly what I've been waiting for ever since I saw the little fox dude or whatever he is carrying a sword around. But they end up just running away. I liked it. I liked the belt that Pogo put on, made him all buff. He knocked a dude through a wall. That was pretty sweet.
That dude couldn't catch a break for like.
And then issue 5, they're going to, before they, or after they get into the temple, I didn't write down their names. The little fox cat dude, or whatever he is.
Red.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then the chick.
Yeah, I don't know where I missed.
They looked serious, 100% ready for some serious battling. And Pogo was like, what the fuck am I doing?
Yeah.
I enjoyed it.
Yeah. It's a good series.
I mean, written well enough that an adult can like it, but then, I mean, kids as well. I mean,
yeah.
I could definitely see probably your boys.
Yeah, I want to get going through what that. The first thought was me was for me was getting it into your classroom. I didn't know if you had it in there.
We've read already. Them all. Yeah. Okay. I ended up getting a lot of them off of Hoopla, and so I could put them up on my smart board. And because it was the first issue, like I read and I tried to hold it up and see this really small picture here. So it, being able to put it up on the board and go panel by panel, kids really liked that.
I think I may add that to. I gave Michael a stack of like 8 different issues that he was reading as we were driving back to drop him off last time, and he liked all like the Transformers and the Naomi and all the like the Wonder Comics that I've gotten. Yeah. He really enjoys those, so I think Rune World will be added to that list for him as well.
Sweet.
I had Southern Bastards Volume 1. I wrote down it's kind of a. It's Walking Tall meets Friday Night Lights.
Okay.
Because the guy is carrying around a stick.
Holy shit. Okay. I'm trying to imagine The Rock.
He did a version of it. Oh, there's an older, I think, movie too.
Like 70s or late 60s or something.
But I liked it a lot. I thought it was really good, enough that I have started reading volume 2 of it too, because like it leaves you in a crappy place. If you remember, I mean, the main characters.
I haven't read that one yet.
Oh.
Yeah, no, it's all good. I knew good. I'd heard good things about it. And I was like, I need to get some dares. And
yeah.
So, excellent. I mean, dare myself that.
Wait, which one have you? You haven't read the first one?
Southern Bastards? I haven't read any of it.
Oh, damn. Because I read volume 2. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Oh, okay.
And that was going to be yours, but you already started reading it.
I'm only like into the first issue of it. Okay. So that would still be fine. But yeah, it was really good. I think you'll like it. Little God Country in it too, without the magic.
Okay.
Just kind of that, that feel.
Okay.
Sweet. Well, I heard something was going to be supposed to happen with the stick, which I've read 3 trade paperbacks and granted it was a while ago, but nothing's popping out in my head. I may have gotten bad information on that, but that was the whole reason I started reading it in the first place. It ended up like I liked the story and stuff, the characters. So,
yeah.
So I had X-Men Schism. And I was kind of torn on this because when I started reading comics back in the 80s, I read, I started with JLA and I really loved the ridiculous banter between Guy Gardner and Beetle and Booster and Fire and Ice. And then I also read the X-Men around that time, which was about the mutant massacre. And since then, I haven't had really much use for super teams. And I think the X-Men it seems like there's always a recurring theme as to why they're feared by humanity, be it all, you know, Fantastic Four and all these other super beings, they're cool, but for some reason we don't like the mutants. So I was predisposed to not like the book, opening it up. And I say all that to say, this was a really decent book. I enjoyed it. It was weird to see Scott and Logan actually getting along and actually respecting each other. And I think that was the main reason you wanted me to read it, was to see that.
I liked interaction. The evolution of their friendship or relationship. I don't know if it's still a friendship, but.
But it's, it's a mutual respect. And I didn't like the way Cyclops was drawn in that one either. It was a little, something weird with his visor. I don't know.
Yeah.
But it's weird that they were able to take a storyline that I feel like I know I'm super overgeneralizing because I don't read X-Men much since back then, but it feels like most X-Men stories are all about that everybody hates us. Everybody hates us. And they were able to take in this book and kind of take a fresh take on that, in my opinion. It felt like a story I've heard before but told differently in a good way. So... good book.
Cool.
Sweet. So you had given me the kick-ass trade paperback, Brian. And so I read the first issue you know, just to try out, see if I wanted to do some more. So I saw the movie, and I understand, like, he kind of gets a little beat up, and that's how he gets his name, Kick-Ass, because he always gets his ass kicked. But, like, the character in the trade paperback, he doesn't just get his ass kicked. Like, I mean, he gets completely destroyed. And then he, like, limps away, and then he gets hit by a truck.
Eh. As you do.
Like, dude's having a really bad time. So, but it's interesting. And I mean, I kept it, so I'm going to read a little bit more of it. And so,
okay. Yeah. Sorry. No, you're good.
I was trying out the drum roll there.
Oh, yes.
So I also had the Wonder Woman Conan number one. And I know nothing about Conan. I've never seen the movies. I'm really excited.
You know
about
one thing now, James Earl Jones is the bad guy
that
in
is
one
true,
of them.
In one of them.
I think
yes.
It was Barbarian, Conan the Barbarian, I believe.
So yeah, I don't know anything about the character. I know now he's gonna suddenly like be part of the Marvel universe because he's gonna be on that Dark Avengers team that got announced and stuff.
Oh boy.
This was pretty good. I did enjoy it. It is interesting that this one came out so fairly recently here.
I think it was last year
and now like
a year and a half.
Cause this is Conan playing alongside Wonder Woman. And now he's like firmly in the Marvel, universe. And
well, there's super old comics, but I don't know who published them before.
So it's weird. I just wonder about who actually has the rights to it and stuff, or if they both have some kind of right to it. Interesting. But yeah, it was pretty good. So.
Sweet.
I forgot to mention this earlier, but Brian Mann gave me Ruin World.
Yes.
So Brian Mitchell gave me Sheriff of Babylon. I took a few just like random notes. So there's a panel in there where they're doing jump jacks, and they're all like out of sync. And I've heard from other people that they really do jumping jacks like that. Like they have no coordination.
Oh wow!
With like a group. Another thing, like granted. I've never been to Iraq or anything like that, or Afghanistan, but just from stories, like when he's trying to ask, hey, do you know this person? And everybody's telling him no, stuff like that happens over there.
Yeah.
It's
like going into Compton and being like, hey, have you seen this person?
Nope. Yeah. Right, yep. Right. I think it's interesting that it seems like most media, most media, whether it's TV shows or movies or comic books, like when they're portraying another country, they think of America as cowboys. Like you think about Kingsman 2, like the American Kingsmen were
cowboys,
right? And then I just thought that was interesting. Is Sophia pregnant with Chris's kid? Kid with the porno mag kind of sums up the overall mood again. Word of mouth of being in Iraq or Afghanistan is you don't really know who to trust. Mm. And especially Afghanistan, somebody's just on Joe Rogan's podcast and he says that when he was in he used to be in special operations. He said when he was in Afghanistan, he said it was like, it's so like, I guess, uncivilized that if you turned a corner and saw a dinosaur, you'd be like, oh, well, you know, it kind of fits the area. And so they, you know, they're struggling to survive. So they may take money from Americans to get some information. And then ISIS or whoever may say, hey, we'll give you more money. Or not even that. They'll just say, hey, we won't kill you.
Yeah.
And so they kind of turn off. So you don't really know who to trust.
It wasn't my favorite Tom King work, but I thought it was interesting being as he was over there and kind of boots on the ground to tell a story that felt real.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and another thing, so I'm going to horribly mispronounce these names. So Nasir gets taken, and then
he's the
cop,
sheriff,
right? He gets taken by a dude by the name of Falil, and he says, "Hey, let's stop to pray. To pray with a man is to know him." And then Nasir says, "To pray is to pray. No man knows another." And then I think the next panel, his wife popped him, so they could get out of custody. So I really liked it. Again, I kind of feel like I tend to gravitate more towards military type. Like if I sit down and read a book cover to cover, it's easier for me to read something military related than anything. Like there's a book called Inside Delta Force talking about when Delta Force was made. I couldn't put that book down. So I enjoyed it.
I read, I can't think of the dude's name, but SEAL Team 6 was like the one of the founders of that. And I couldn't put the book down.
It's interesting. I mean, not only the military aspect of it, but I don't know about that book, but with Delta Force, they had to jump through a lot of bureaucratic hoops just to get it going.
Yep.
Right after the Vietnam War. So.
Oh, Whispering Dark. My bad. Sorry, I got distracted with the gun talk. So, Mr. Man dared me, Whispering Dark. I'd already read issue one. I can see why you would like it.
Yeah.
But I just don't think it's my bag. Okay. I think I've just read too many horror-related books recently to truly appreciate it. But
cool.
Not a bad book, just not for me.
Rod. Okay. Well, that is going to take us out of the shares. And I meant the dares. And into the impaired. So, last week.
Hang on, new beer?
Oh, yeah, I forgot.
I'm going to be the beer police, but.
So.
Beer police.
We are now opening up Three Trails Brewing. They're Norbert. It's a dark sour, 6.8%.
Nice.
Yumsky.
Sweet.
So, con talk. Yes.
So, as I was saying, last week, all four of us went to Bartle Hall for the annual Planet Comic-Con. Brian, you and I went all 3 days. Eric, you and Mike only went on Sunday. What was everybody's... I mean, how did you make out?
This is my first Comic-Con, and I enjoyed myself.
Yeah.
It was cool.
Okay.
Cosplay is pretty good and bad at the same time sometimes.
Oh, you didn't even see the shenanigans, sir.
You
just saw, like, the C-list cosplayers.
You saw yesterday the kitty stuff.
Yeah, yesterday was Cosplay Central.
Oh, you know, I really liked the variety of vendors. You know, you had famous people, like famous people. And then you had not so famous people or nobodies, really.
Or people just trying to get a start.
Sure. Just trying to make connections like we were. But yeah. Eric, how did you like it?
I enjoyed it. You know, I mean, we mostly just walked around today. We didn't do any panels or anything, but... yeah, it was good. I would have liked a few more comic shops, setups to go to. I mean,
to me, it felt like there was a divide. You either had dollar boxes that you could spend 5 hours pawing through trying to find a gem, or you had stuff up on the wall that
for hundreds of bucks,
bagged and graded.
There wasn't much mid range stuff. Now, mm-hmm. I mean. I picked up a few gems, it was no, not Jim the.
No, I was thinking of one of them that you picked up, but
oh, the Neon Joe.
Uh-huh.
Yep. that was a late addition to the swag bag.
Yeah, no, Eric has mentioned House of M to me a couple different times, and I found the full run out there at Comic Cons.
So. Yeah, see, that's one of the things that I love about going to cons is the nice, crisp, bundled up sets of all the issues you're looking for. Yes,
those instead are fun. Of yeah, spending yeah. a year and a half trying to find the death of Spider-Man that I did.
Yeah, I was able to find Venom 3 and 4 of the current Donnie Cates, so that completes my collection of that, which I was happy to find.
I picked up that Daredevil, was it 160?
180.
180, sorry. Slabbed for $20.
It's the Frank Miller hand cover.
I got I had one mission to find Saga number one, and I found a bunch of them for about $300 a piece, and ended up getting a non-CGC'd one for much closer to my price range.
Yes. Yes. I did not find the comic book that I desired, however, which is pure sadness, which was the 7-2 Eternity cover number A. One cover A. Yeah.
I did find Secret Empire 3, 7, and 10, which I've been holding on to those for about 10 or 11 months. So I finally get to read those.
Sweet.
Which makes sense in the current comic book, since whoever the Steve Rogers is that is
yes.
in the current. And as of the last issue,
absolutely.
I would tell you one of the awesome things was, and it should be this way, but isn't always, how willing the artists and writers were to sign your books.
Yeah,
I mean, I brought Cullen Bunn a stack of comics where I was like, bro, I don't want to be greedy. How many of these do you sign? I'll sign them all. Just take them out of the plastic.
Yeah.
Just super cool. Had a cool conversation with Matt Kent.
Yes.
Black Badge.
Yes.
Where I was like, dude, I love this book. And he's like, have you read the latest one?
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, yeah. He's like, do you still like it?
I'm tentatively gauging your furious anger with me.
And then when I had my kid bring up his copy to sign, yep. you know, and we talked about he was never a Boy Scout. He was an inside kid, but he just yeah. thought it was such a cool idea to have the Boy Scouts be secret agents.
Yeah. Which, I mean, it's one of those things, and when we've talked about it before, it's not so far out of the realm of what could be possible, and it's almost scary because you're like, dude, those high adventure kids, man, they do some weird ass shit.
Well, that's the thing, like not necessarily like sniping people and whatnot, but you know, I was an Eagle Scout, and when I joined the Army, every knot they taught us, I already knew.
Yeah,
I did that. I was infantry for 4 years, got out. I started going through firefighter 1 and 2 classes. Every knot they taught us, I already knew. So it's really good information that helps people out.
Well, and you know some bushcraft mm-hmm. and yeah, yeah. So that was fun.
It teaches self-reliance and you know that. I don't know what the word is right now. Impaired section.
Just the confidence in your own skill. Confidence. So I don't know if this is true or not. This is something my dad used to say, but he would say that. Or he said that Danny Boone had never been lost ever in his life. He's been bewildered a few times. And what that means to me, like dealing with Boy Scouts, is if you know how to find where you're at.
And how to find direction and know I'm going to yeah. follow water
right.
source.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. Chris Claremont. I mean, talk about giant names.
Yeah. I mean, X-Men.
I stood in line for a good long time, not just because the line was so long, but because he was taking the time to actually have a conversation with people,
yeah.
to take pictures. I mean, yeah, he was charging $10 a pop for his signature, but I get it, man. He got to make a living. I didn't begrudge him.
It's not the worst one.
Yeah.
We found.
Yeah.
I give autographs for free, by the way. So.
Yeah, me too.
I have given one in my life, and it was like the best moment
ever. If you
ever.
Just come up to me and know who I am, I'll sign whatever you want. Anyway, but yeah.
It was pretty cool. I was with Eric's son, and he wanted to go over and get Jason Aaron's autograph. Scotty Young just comes rolling on over and just starts sketching Thor on the tablecloth there. It was a really good
scene. Did you
scene.
See who grabbed that?
I wish I had, because I wish I had an X-Acto knife, because it wouldn't have stayed there long.
Was this yesterday?
Yeah. No, this was Friday. Friday, wasn't it?
Yeah, maybe it was Friday. Yeah. Dude, it all blends together.
It really does.
3 long days at the con.
I thought, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, every person was super cool. I've got a couple of new local talent that I've got the Panty Vigilante.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
By Erica Batten that I'm going to read and review.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then a new comic, Biotech.
I actually read issue 1 in the back seat, and I'm digging it.
Oh, good. Yeah, so, cool. I mean, it was a good mix of established talent,
yeah,
and up and coming talent that I'm excited to be a part of.
I like off the wall shit sometimes, and so what really got me was there was a couple of artists. There's this one chick from St. Louis who she draws like birds and like other small little animals with armor on them, and I think it's awesome. Here, I'll show you. Sounds, you know, cool. Yeah, you know. So I got one of her prints, and then there was a really cool watercolor vendor painter that you had showed me, Brian, and
we've bought stuff from him the past few years. Yeah.
And it's just a bunch of pop culture stuff, like
It's got some Zelda, Lord of the Rings, Harry Potter.
Yeah. Well, it's even got more stuff like that. It's got like, I mean, if you're a girl, you like Disney princesses, there were like Frozen and Belle and Sleeping Beauty, and then I mean there was
Tigger and Pooh.
Yeah, and then there was like Overwatch.
He's
and,
like, I've tried to do Eeyore, but he just comes out like a blue smudge. You know, and that dude comes from Virginia.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow, that's crazy. Yeah, I heard a lot of people were from out of town, and I was like, man, I've lived in Kansas City all my life, and it doesn't seem like a place you would ever want to visit touristy, because like, unless you're from here and know where to go, like,
it was funny listening to him talk though, because I was listening to dudes talk about barbecue. Like, last year we tried Jack Stack and it was really good, and then this year, and I didn't hear where he went this year, but I was like, if you want, I can tell you the best places.
Yeah,
but heck, I found that Daredevil print. I think that dude does black and white like nobody's business, and he did the Punisher Platoon cover.
Yeah, he did one of the variant Punisher Platoon. He's done the Darkness.
Well, he was saying something about Marvel doesn't let him color it. That's why some were colored and some weren't.
Yeah, because the disagreement is, I mean, his black and white work is so fine, and the shading and the color and the
I'm not comparing it.
The light,
but Jim Lee's very much like that. Yeah. Like, you can look at a Jim Lee cover and don't really necessarily always need color.
I mean,
he has Alex Sinclair doing. I don't know that I've ever seen a Jim Lee artist book that isn't Alex Sinclair color, but that we saw several examples of when he wasn't allowed to choose the colors, and it took away from it.
Yeah, yeah,
it really did. It took away. Like, the Bloodshot cover was a prime example. I mean.
Where they colored over all his detail.
Yeah.
And that was, if I were the artist doing that, that would hurt my heart.
Yeah, because especially if you're not in the business to be rich and famous, and you're in it because
of the art.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, I look at that and I just look at the light and the dark and the story you're telling there with your shading. I don't need any color with that.
You know, it's, I believe you had talked to him when we were standing there, Wrightson did a lot of that shading work.
Yeah, I was super jealous because he said that he actually got to meet Bernie Wrightson and talk with him. And
But all in all,
all the superheroes on the toilet was pretty dope.
Dude, I'm telling you, next year I hope they're there, because I hopefully will have the downstairs bathroom and it will be decorated in just superheroes on the toilet. Because that was some funny stuff.
Yeah, that was pretty cool.
I feel like they were all pooping except for Captain Marvel. She was painting her toenails.
Yep. Yeah, Hulk was straining, man. He didn't have enough fiber. Well,
the Deadpool was reading a Playboy with one hand, and
I don't think I got that one.
And
wow,
Thor was insinuating that
yes. Thor was in the shower.
Luckily, his hammer wasn't showing.
I'm gonna be.
That's how you pitch me a softball.
I'm gonna be a good boy and not pick
not,
up that.
Not grab the hammer.
You're not worthy. Not pick up that grounder to the gap and.
Oh, they had that too. They had
the hammer.
Yeah,
lift. See if you could lift the hammer for a dollar.
That's pretty cool.
That seems like a racket.
Yes, absolutely.
It's just like 400 pounds anvil. But I think it's very interesting the platform that Comic-Con allows, because it's like
it's just everything pop culture. Yeah, everything. Yeah, yeah. It's not just comics.
No, it's action figures, it's Hot Wheels, it's
anime,
handmade items. I mean,
I got my kids a couple comic book posters that I haven't hung yet because I keep forgetting to get frames, and they keep yelling at me about it. And I found a Dragon Ball
Damn
Z.
Damn it, Dad!
I found like this little Dragon Ball Z, I guess, banner that doesn't need a frame, so that'll be going up on the wall. So,
there you go. Look, Dad can hang things. Yeah, I think Brenda May got the best deal. I was a little torqued because I took my Mr. Miracle number one and sent it off through CGC last year and waited probably 4 or 5 months for it to come back with its rating. He got a signed CGC'd Mr. Miracle number one for, 55?
55, I think, yeah.
I thought it was 40.
I thought it was volume two.
I thought it was 40.
Number one. It's not that cover.
Yes, it is.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, 100%. It's that cover inside.
It's the same one.
Oh, wow. I'm pretty sure that's the same cover.
It was rated at 9.6, I think.
Mm. I'd have to see it again.
I thought it was volume two, number one. I was in like the 80s.
Well, if that's okay. I mean, I've got one of those too, but yeah. Okay. I sure thought it was that one.
Well, regardless, a good deal.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, lots of good deals. I found my Saga, thank goodness.
Yeah.
I'm only missing four.
You're only missing like four total or like the number four?
Four total.
Oh, okay.
That's not bad.
I have,
and you have
one and two. I need three, four, and five. Three, four, five, six. Yeah.
Okay.
Wow.
So since you brought up Saga, I was at GameStop a while back, a month ago. And since Eric was turning me on to Saga, which I've been holding this the whole time.
Uh-oh.
Because I was wanting to give it to you when I gave you the book back, but I'm still reading the book. But at GameStop, I found Elena.
Oh,
nice. Oh, sweet, dude.
That's awesome.
Thanks. Little figure. So it was, I don't know if you saw the picture of Julian wearing the Luigi hat. It was the night that How to Train Your Dragon 3 came out. We went to GameStop before that, and I saw it, and I'm like, oh, I'm going to give this to Eric.
That's awesome.
But it's been sitting in my car ever since because I was waiting to finish that big-ass encyclopedia he gave me.
So how much Saga have you read?
About the same as last time you asked me. with college and trying to keep up on my pulls.
I get you, man. I don't know. Eric brought that over, and I could not quit turning pages. Just couldn't.
Was what, seven books in like a day and a half?
Day or two, yeah. It was.
Yeah, I could not put it down.
Yeah,
my wife, who won't read comics, I mean, has made a point of that. I finally got her to read the Batman Annual number two.
Date Nights, Last Rites.
Yeah. And she's like, okay. All right. It's like, here's Saga, number one, the first trade. Just try it. Get past the first page where it's, am I shitting? It feels like I'm shitting.
Have you guys, for the people, does everybody have kids? Do you have kids?
Negative, Ghost Rider.
Okay, so
pattern is
for the two that have kids, were you guys there during the childbirth?
Oh yeah.
Oh
yeah.
Boy, this oh, is
yeah. that,
this.
That like legit happens. Like I was surprised. The doctor's like,
"Oh my god, dude."
Yeah. It's both the most special moment and the most horrific in my life. Would you like to cut the cord? No, no, I'm good. I am good. I am an observer. I'm going to stand off to the side.
They put a mirror up, and like I kept getting yelled at because she couldn't see it in the mirror. I'm like, oh, my bad.
Would you want to see it in the mirror?
I'd creep up some more. It was like the most awesome thing I've ever witnessed.
Are you sure?
Yeah. Absolutely.
I'll take your word for it.
Dude, it's both right at the same time.
Oh, God, that must be a roller coaster.
Yeah.
Back to the con. Getting away,
my brother.
Getting away from the intricacies of childbirth.
And the episiotomies.
So you didn't go to a panel. I did. I did go to a panel.
I was too busy fulfilling all my signature quests.
Yeah. Anyway, some are good. Some are, it's really hard to say a waste of time because the people are trying.
Yeah.
But a lot of these are like the people who go to them have to engage. And if no one engages, you're just.
Then you're just
like sitting there going.
Twiddling thumbs.
Okay, let's get out of here, you know. So, I feel like they really did a good job of segregating the panels from the main floor. Because, like, all the panels were, like, away from...
Like in the ballroom, right?
Yeah, yeah. And it just, you could go over there and there were, like, seats if you wanted to just get away. And then, you know, that's where they lined up. Because I was talking with Michelle, who went with us. Like, could you imagine having panels in that big room, the lines with all the people on a Saturday afternoon?
Oh, no, because...
It'd be chaos.
Because Friday and Sunday felt
tame.
Pretty tame. Saturday, when I brought both the boys, it was a flipping zoo.
It was a cluster.
Props to Planet Comic Con folks. I mean, they did a good job with the lines and the crowd control, and nothing got out of hand, but there was a ton of people packed in there.
Well, and I think Bartle Hall is a great place to house something like that. I mean, if you need a space big enough to be able to sprawl out in, I mean, that's your place. But, I mean, one of my problems is like, it's just like there's... too many people. Like, there has to be a capacity at some point. And I feel like when I can't walk in a straight line without running into about 75,000 people, and I'm not exaggerating, it's like, is there nobody with a clicker going, hey,
yeah, if somebody screams fire, there might be a problem.
Yeah. Like, there's... It's just packed in there like sardines.
Yeah, I tell you, it was a great time because all the talent was super, super cool. And I just can't emphasize that enough because you don't ever want to meet your heroes.
Yeah.
And not that any of these people are my heroes, but I mean, I feel like I follow a bunch of these people on Twitter, and had they been a-holes when I was like, hey, would you sign my book? It wouldn't have been good.
Absolutely. And
no one was that way.
And I have this problem with people who would be like that. It's like, okay, so you got into a business where you write a comic or you draw a comic, and then that comic goes and gets printed in, and then somebody goes into another store and you don't know this person, but they buy your story. And they read your story, and then maybe they go and pick up other books and read other stories by you. And then they want to come and pay money to see you. You cannot be a dick. Like,
oh, you can. You
shouldn't be.
You can.
You shouldn't be.
You shouldn't be.
It's like,
yes.
What did you expect to happen? And one of the panels was a podcasting thing, and they're like, when you have, you know, we have this, you know, we have 41 issues now. 40 issues, 41 issues. Like, if someone was to listen to all of our podcasts, they would know things about us and they could come up and talk to us, and they would have they would approach us as,
dude, I know you,
acquaintances, where we would see them as strangers.
Right.
So I get that. It's kind of weird. But the thing is like, back to my original question is, what did you expect to happen?
I think it comes down to if they're humble or not.
I guess. I just, comics isn't a money-making business in my, I'm like, you're never going to be a bajillionaire writing comics. You could live very well. I mean, very well. But I mean, you're not going to be Bill Gates rich, you know?
Right.
So you can't be in the business to make money. You can be in business to make a living, and a good one. I don't know where people get off not performing fan service.
You left that hanging, sir.
Not performing fan service. You know what I mean? You know what I mean?
Yep. Yes. I got you. All right. So what does everybody think of the Norbert?
That's my winner.
It's good stuff.
I mean, it's good, but I really liked that APA, the Drumroll APA. I really liked it. I mean, I'm not going to win, obviously, because you three like that.
No, I like the Drumroll, and I like the Mosaic. Really, the Marshmallow one I didn't hate.
Definitely.
It was more of a gimmick beer. No.
I can't say I will never drink that again.
But this, to me, as far as dark sours go, it's pretty fantastic. Yeah,
it is pretty good. So, beer of the pod for this issue. What are our choices?
The Founders Mosaic Promise, Big Muddy S'more Stout, Odell Drumroll APA, and then the Three Trails Norbert.
Okay. And your?
Three Trails.
All right. Looks like it's the Three Trails again.
Well, woo-hoo! You can still have yours. I mean,
but it's a...
Register your dissenting vote.
No, it's a consensus-based. I mean, if it was 2v2, then it would be like, all right, we'll put them both, you know. So, all right, so Beer of the Pod is the Three Trails Norbert. And what do we want people to do?
Like, rate, subscribe.
Okay. All right.
Please.
Yes. All right. And
hashtag break free.